Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia. It's episode number 262 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, The Crap Bag discusses part one of the Mike Tyson documentary. And I'm going to be honest, we have things coming up at 12:30, and right now may include the NFL making a big announcement with regards to capacity for games for this upcoming season. But Chad and I did our pre-show prep by phone and what has been a crazy morning, so I'm not going to tell you the rest of this hour what it entails. I am Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is that Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
You're damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Wednesday. We hit hump day with some big NFL news I am so excited about. There are things in this world I love more than the NFL, but there aren't many of them, and it's huge news for the 2021 season. We'll definitely get into that. We'll keep you updated on the Big 12 baseball tournament, where, don't look now, but the Baylor Bears may not quite be done in this thing. It was 9-1 last we checked. Well, now it's bottom seven, and it's 9-4.
Oh,
Texas Tech still up on Baylor. That is, of course, the 3-6 matchup. If you're following your brackets in the Big 12 tournament, it's TCU and Kansas State after that, and then Texas and West Virginia scheduled for a 4 o'clock start time. But we all know how baseball can be when it comes to kicking back start time. So we'll keep you up to date on the very latest, and I know our man Craig Way is going to let us know exactly when those games will happen. Craig is in Oklahoma City, getting ready for those games, of course. And we are glad to have you with us today. If you want to jump in on the Specs text line, 337-3776. We are already going in a way because we covered an hour of Light the Tower. So we've already got a little bit of a text discussion going on. We'll let you in on that. We'll probably create another one or two as the show goes on. Also, I don't know about Trey, but what I'd like to get into at 12:30 is the fact that Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks are darn close to forcing Trey Elling to watch a little NBA basketball. Trey has declared that if the Mavericks get to 3 wins in this series, he will watch, and they're up 2-0 now, Trey. You got your audio-visual consultation set up ready to go?
Well, I guess now is the time that I let you people know that there was a caveat to me saying that I would watch if the Mavs got to 3 wins. That was the assumption that the LA Clippers would be at least at 2 wins, if not 3 wins themselves.
What?
So I will watch the Mavs with 3 wins in this series if the Clippers make it a series. So if Dallas goes up 3-0 tomorrow night or whenever it is, then I'm probably not still watching unless it's an entertaining series.
That's not what you said. You said it. If it's 3-0, they have a chance to sweep and you wouldn't watch?
I know. I fully admit that I reneged in this situation.
Oh, my God.
But I am being honest with you people. It's going to take a lot for me to start watching the NBA playoffs in the first round.
You know, I feel like I need to be Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting and you are Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting. And I just need to stand in front of you and say over and over again, it's not your fault.
Oh, I know it's not my fault. It's the stupid NBA's fault. It's this corrupt system's fault.
What that league and maybe in your mind what Dwayne Wade took away from you in 2006, I don't know if you've ever fully recovered. It is not your fault. And you have every opportunity to still watch this team play. But they took it from you. Back in 2006, Trey Elling was as big an NBA fan as I've ever met. But after those finals where he believes the league took a championship from the Mavericks, he just stopped. He stopped forever. It didn't matter that the Mavs got back to the finals later on and won a title, one of my favorite summers of my life. He didn't care. He was consistent. He was out. It was over. And now he's still clean. He still won't even commit to watching unless it's 3-2 or 3-3.
I think that 15 years removed, I can now fully admit something about how hardcore an NBA fan I was back in the day.
Okay.
I watched a fair amount of NBA, but I read a lot of NBA. and was as knowledgeable on the NBA as anybody at the Zone at that time. I did that because a niche existed that needed to be filled. And even though I was amused by the NBA, I was not the biggest NBA fan.
Oh.
And so the garbage that I had to watch play out in the 2006 finals was all I needed to see to watch a sport that I like to say is barely more viable than professional wrestling, but considering how professional wrestling is willing to admit what it is, which includes zombie storylines now apparently, wrestling is more authentic than the NBA, Chad.
Oh my God, they did throw a zombie storyline in. Did I tell you why they threw the zombie storyline in?
Please help me out.
They're selling a movie.
Of course.
There's a movie on Netflix that contains Dave Bautista called Army of the Dead. It's a Zack Snyder film.
Yeah.
That's what they were selling.
The Netflix deal, okay.
Once I heard that, I went, oh, okay.
Now, wait a second.
I get it.
Now, Wendy will watch that. Will you watch it because it has Bautista in it?
I mean, if she wants to watch it and asks me to, I could probably get through it, yeah.
Okay.
I could get through it. Not just because of Bautista. I've watched Zombieland with her, and I like that. And I'm going to watch Zombieland Double Tap at some point.
None of us is surprised when sports goes the way of the Happy Meal and is offering little bits of candy or toys to us that is really just a shameless cross-promotion of something completely different.
And in that world, they are everything's fully on the table of it's sports entertainment. They're trying to, you know, they're ultimately trying to entertain you and sometimes sell you stuff.
But were they trying to roll with zombies being actually real?
Now, that I don't know. I didn't watch the match.
All right.
I've not gone back yet to watch the match. I feel like I'm a little more of a normal person because of that. I still haven't seen it.
Oh, I agree.
I still haven't watched
it. I'm giving you a little bit more credit as a wrestling fan than I was prior to that moment.
Exactly. I'm trying to take that for a good compliment. All right, so we will talk a little NBA, some storylines rolling there, including the Mavs up 2-0 on the Clippers. But there is big football news today. I think it's one of those, we always say it, but you know, there's so many things that can rip us apart. Sports is what brings us together in a lot of ways. And man, Trey, 30 out of the 32 NFL teams have been told by their local. This is not just Goodell saying, go check with your local folks. The way I'm reading this is that 30 of the 32 have checked with their cities, have checked with their municipalities, and have been told, you're good. Thumbs up, 100% capacity. The only two are Indianapolis and Denver right now, and they're apparently having progressive conversations. The Denver conversations involve edibles, which is fantastic. That's got to help. But
they do?
Nah, in my mind, yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming they're having these meetings at a dispensary.
Well, I think if they were high, they probably already would have okayed
it. You're right.
Instead of utter indifference.
They need to get to a dispensary is what they need to do. But those are the two that are still outstanding. That means all of the iconic stadiums you could think of that are important in this league, all over the Midwest stuff, Soldier Field, Pittsburgh, the New York Stadium, Washington, Philly, go out to the West Coast, all the California teams, Jerry World, obviously a showcase in the league, the new stadium in Vegas, every bit of it, all of it, all those stadiums, the Buck Stadium with the pirate ship, with the defending champs, Kansas City and their incredible venue that is legendary, all of them get to go 100%.
It's less impressive seeing the Floridas and the Texases of the world go here than it is seeing the states that were the most locked down over the last 14-plus months, and that is California, although I guess technically it's New Jersey. New Jersey was very much locked down, as was New York, and even a place like Illinois, where Chicago was totally shut down 6 months ago, I mean, to where you couldn't really go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's according to friends and family that we still have in the Chicagoland area, drink up. So for those places to be willing to take these steps right now, or at least offer up this glimmer of hope, and I know I'm becoming a broken record with this, Chad, I think it shows where we expect to be come the fall, but there's a good chance we're there like within the next month or two before we even get to football season. That is fantastic.
Yeah, so for those of you out there that are big NFL fans, sports fans, or you're just a fan of trying to get things back to normal, let us know how this hits you. Even if you're not an NFL fan, I think sometimes there's news in a world you don't even care about that can help you in this COVID discussion. I've been keeping people updated on UFC cards. Not because I think everybody loves UFC, but when they pack a house, I think that matters. They're going to pack a house in July. and that really matters. I told you yesterday, WWE's going back on the road. I'm not assuming everybody's a pro wrestling fan, but a traveling road show. I mean, they do that Monday night show live. They've been doing Monday and Friday yeah. night live forever.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they can get back out on the road is a big deal. And here, I would think this is great news. So let us know your reaction to that. Are you a Cowboys fan that now is absolutely going after some tickets? Texans fans, even though all the mess that's going on with your team, are you interested in tickets? Do we have Saints fans listening that are making their plans? There's another iconic venue, Superdome. Full capacity, 100% to watch whatever Jameis Winston plus Taysom Hill and the lack of Drew Brees will look like. They get to be fully packed in there. You know, you mentioned it last hour, made a reference to the whole PGA thing that we'll always remember it as one of those moments that felt normal, felt, you know, mm-hmm. really cool with the fans interacting. And that's what I'm looking forward to in the NFL, man. Preseason stuff and the camp stuff. You also, they have announced yesterday that camp can be normal. They can invite their fans to camp again. That's great.
That's almost a bigger step because that shows that they are comfortable with where the numbers are right now and where they will be, that they're good doing this at the start of August.
Right. But July is when camp's open, right? July 20-something.
Late July, right. Yeah. You're right about that. Yeah. But it's also not that surprising when you look at what's happening elsewhere around the sports world or even indoor venues. And, of course, that's every NBA arena right now that's allowing either capacity or close to capacity going there.
Yeah.
And I feel like I saw a hockey game the other night where the arena was still fairly empty. That might have been up in Canada.
There are some hockey venues that are still being way careful.
I think that's mostly Canada more than anything else. But obviously baseball is starting to go there as well. So, you know, I think in retrospect, we have to thank some of these organizations that were willing to take those initial chances to show everybody else that it was going to be okay.
Yeah, and if it had to be, I said this from the very beginning, Trey, I was looking to the icons in the South for if they had to be the ones, then they had to be the ones. I was looking for Alabama football to make a move. They put 47,000 in their spring game. That's what I need out of them. Mm-hmm. I need, sometimes you need that person to say, no, we can jump off this cliff. I don't know, man. They said it's a 25-foot cliff. Dude, trust me. I've done this before. We can make it. Here's what you do. Right before you hit the water, you do this. Don't do it like you did the last time when we were drunk and you did a belly flop from like 18 feet up. That's stupid. Here's how you go in the water. Oh, okay. So then if the daredevil shows you how to do it and do it a little safer, then everybody else starts to follow.
Yeah, and let's think about the state that has really served as the leader in that regard this entire time, and something that hopefully, regardless of political affiliation, we can laugh at in the long term. That Florida, the state of Florida, America's most flaccid member, schooled the rest of us by opening up 100% capacity back in freaking September. And yeah, they went through the flow that the rest of this country did around December and into January as well, but ultimately, they were the first to prove that it was not end times if you decided to open things back up a little bit sooner than, say, the Californias or the New Yorks of the world.
Yes, so if you have a reaction, let us know. Already texts are rolling in, 337-3776. This doesn't feel like a sports response. I'll read it anyway. What it means to me is that COVID has been a politicized bit, and November 3rd cured it. And now there's midterm elections in 2022, so they've got to release control to run for re-election. Oh, all right.
I don't agree with that, but the quick pivot from the last month by the CDC on a couple of different occasions, and then also municipalities or entire states, in the case of California, it is curious, and it's shocking, considering how overly cautious those entities have been up to this point. So for them to all of a sudden make this move and just kind of open their arms and say, all right, we're kind of cool with everything at this point, it does speak to the effectiveness of the vaccines. I think there's also something underlying here that's not getting talked enough about, and that is an understanding that those who have had COVID do have a longer-term immunity. And there's another story that finally came out today, Chad, that I'm going to showcase and where are we at in society.
There we go. I need that
update. That proves
update.
As much. I think those things together on top of this understanding that what we've gone through over the last year, while at times may have been necessary, is no longer that. And we're better off trying to accelerate this idea of herd immunity by promising people this renewed sense of normalcy or a return to normalcy if they get vaccinated, or showing that enough of you have gone here right now that we can actually start to take these steps to get back to normal.
Yeah, I think it's just it's kind of a great evolution of where this story has gone. And again, if you're out there and you either trust or don't trust certain things, I can't change that part of it. But if you value, I mean, look, if you're going to trust something, it's got to be the NFL, right? I mean, they're the most trustworthy thing in the... All right, anyway. It is the most important entity in sports. So the fact that they're willing to take these steps now, trust in the numbers they're seeing, the training camp stuff is interesting. 30 out of 32 is interesting. Here's another one for me, Trey. I just want to see how they're going to do this. Next couple days, I'm told, maybe it's today, the NFL will be getting little stories out. It could be like rule changes and things. But also they may report on vaccination levels of players and staff.
Mm-hmm.
So a few weeks ago, I guess, maybe even a month ago now, is when I saw the story about Major League Baseball. And I think at that point they were at 70% of everybody. That's staff, team, whatever. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good number, 70% of like everybody. So will the NFL tell us that? Are they going to give it to us team by team? Would they give it to us as a full league and say, you know, because I don't know what that number is going to be, but what will they report? What protocols are they going to put in place? Will there be anything? Travel restrictions? What are they going to put the teams through in terms of, you know, all of it that they had to deal with last year? Masks and social distancing and how many vehicles are you going to travel in? I'm interested how the NFL will handle that part of the discussion, because other leagues, understandably, because of time, have had to be a little more careful on the front end of this thing. But by the end of baseball and by the end of this basketball run, I think there's going to be an argument for, I don't know, things feel pretty darn normal and they may not have to go that strong. I wonder how the NFL is going to start, because this may be their chance to sort of make their first statement on it.
Much like this acceleration to normal, how it's happening much more rapidly than any of us realized it would at the start of this year, I don't feel like those things will be issues come football season. Like a lot of those safeguards will have been dropped by then.
And most importantly, let's, with all due respect to the fans are the second most important group for me in terms of feeling good about it. How do the players feel about it? NFLPA, and we know the NFL does not take care of their players. They don't truly care about the PA, and the PA doesn't really have a lot of power. But how would they feel? If I'm a player... That was the issue in college football. That was the issue last year with the NFL and now with baseball or whatever. We want to make sure the players feel safe. So do they feel safe as teams getting back to action in 2021? I hope they do.
We certainly don't want to speak for the players, but I would assume the answer is yes, that if they were that concerned, obviously the guys who were the most concerned last year decided to opt out. But if they're still that concerned, they're vaccinated at this point.
And
I think that's the underlying reason why we can be so confident about a lot of these things. And I need to give you credit for mentioning this. I want to say it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago where you're like, look, if you are really that worried, still that worried, you're vaccinated. So even if you're around somebody who's not, the concern level should diminish greatly.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my epiphany was getting on that boat for a boat party. And something in my brain tried to tell me to be worried and freaked out. Not freaked out, but just like, ooh, are you? Because I hadn't done it in so long.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is literally the only person. No, I'd met two or three other people I'd met on this boat. But I get on and it was just kind of this moment of, whoa, this is very, very different. But then immediately it was, you've been vaccinated. You've had it, A, and B, you've been vaccinated. Calm down. You are way more protected right now than you were back in, you know, back last May when you had a mask on. You're way more protected in that situation.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think those are going to be important discussions. Maybe the NFL will be listening at 1:45 when Trey gives us where we at in society and updates us on a story that only Trey and I apparently care about, which is, what does it mean if you haven't? Excuse me, if you have had COVID, but you have not had a vaccination, what do they think about, you know, the antibodies that get built up just by having COVID-19? Apparently, there are some updates on this finding.
And it has to do with testing COVID survivors' bone marrow. So we go pretty deep science here.
Wow, some bone marrow tests. I like that. All right, so we will get into that as the show develops. Big news out of the NFL. There's some other updates there. The Deshaun Watson story has a little bit of an update. Also, the Dallas Mavericks are up 2-0. And I know it's not Trey's favorite topic, but it was pretty impressive last night. We'll talk about that a little bit, get you set on what happened. Plus, Big 12 baseball rolls on. We'll get you an update on Baylor and Texas Tech and let you know how the day is laying out. It will obviously involve the Texas Longhorns. 4 o'clock, Texas and West Virginia. You'll hear it right here on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Just getting started on a Wednesday. What do you got, Trey?
This is a daily mix based on my love of Gary Clark Jr. Chad, I know I go to this well a lot, but Spotify does a good job of bringing me artists that I'm either vaguely or not at all familiar with. That includes Granddaddy.
Granddaddy.
I don't want to live here anymore.
I never had a granddaddy. Didn't have one of those around me. Trying to think if I knew anybody that referred to their grandfather as granddaddy. Kind of like that one. I feel like that one should be for a great-grandfather, like a really old guy. If you're the great-grandkid, granddaddy seems like one that you go with.
Yeah, I feel like granddaddy was like what kids in the 1930s and 40s called their grandparents.
Maybe a little older school. Mine was granddad. I just had one grandfather.
I had a pawpaw, and then I still have a K-dad.
Okay, I love the K-dad, by the way.
Yeah, well, that was done because he didn't want to be known as a granddad. And so my grandma went by G-mom for grandmom. And he was like, no, we're not going to go G-dad. We're going to go K-dad because my first name is Keith. And that's what the grandkids are going
to
call me.
That's one of the great things about the grandparent bit is you get to choose.
Yeah.
Sometimes the families will try to tell you can't. Well, you know, the kids are going to. No, they're not. No, they're not. The adult gets to choose.
It's the anti-Costanza. You try to get himself called T-Bone, and he ends up getting called Coco the Idiot Circus Chimp.
You do whatever you want. Bucky says it all the time. His grandkids call him Coach. That's fantastic. That's one of the best I've ever heard.
That is a good one.
Yeah. My dad was one that didn't like the idea of Grandpa or Gramps or any of that stuff. And he, for years, had his students calling him Doc. So he said, we'll go Papa Doc. So that's who he is.
Papa Doc's a great one.
Papa Doc. Now, I don't even know if he's even seen 8 Mile. That's the villain in 8 Mile's name, if you remember, is Papa Doc.
I never saw the movie.
The guy that, what's his name? I forget the actor's name.
Eminem?
No. The actor that plays the Falcon in Marvel now.
Oh, Anthony Mackie?
Anthony Mackie is Papa Doc
in
8 Mile. Huh. He's kind of the lead villain, the lead rap villain, if you will, rap battle villain. And he was Papa Doc, so I always think of that when I see the movie.
But I like Anthony Mackie. He does a good job.
Yeah, he's good. He's helped to make that role more believable and more legit. Because when we first saw Falcon, it was kind of like, ooh, are we going to buy this guy or not? But he does a good job.
He was in a Tom Clancy remake. I think it was Amazon Prime or Netflix. I watched it at my brother and sister-in-law's a couple weeks back. It was an entertaining film.
Yeah, he's really good. Hopefully you're having a great Wednesday. Big news out of the NFL. 30 of 32 teams say 100% capacity. We're really excited about that. You can give us your response to it. We've had some very interesting responses on the text line. 337-3776. When you hear that news, does it just get you excited to go to games? One of our listeners says they're pumped. Apparently they're a Broncos fan, and they're going to go see the Broncos play in New York. And they're jacked about it. That's cool. So you can make those plans now. In 30 of 32 cities, only Indy and Denver don't have that set up, and they may have it by the time we get to the season. They also have said full capacity is allowed at training camps, so that is awesome. We'll keep you up to date on Big 12 baseball. Of course, the Longhorns are part of it later on, and this first game is, and this is the way it always seems to work, that first game ends up going a while, and it pushes the whole schedule back. Top of the ninth, Texas Tech is up 11-4 on Baylor now. It was 8-0 earlier, then 9-1, 9-4, but then Texas Tech adds a couple runs. There is a second game with TCU and Kansas State coming up. That was scheduled for 12:30.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I just realized what this means for you and me.
Yep.
on what is already a long day for us.
Yeah. You're going to get to blame me for a lot today, Trey. Because I do, yeah, it's now hitting me what this ultimately means. I was trying to be nice to Brad, Kevin, and Rod. And I thought, well, we won't make them come in. Well, why make them come in for 45 minutes? That doesn't make any sense. And then it's just hitting me today where I'm like, oh, because I was excited when I saw sixth inning earlier. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's great. Texas will get, oh, there's two games. Hang on. There's two games, Chad. Think it through. Yep. Did.
All right. Well, we'll be on till 5 o'clock today.
Didn't quite think that one through.
Hope my kids don't just lock my, or I hope that my kids' school doesn't just lock them in if I'm not able to get there by 6.
You know what, Trey? Because you are not the one that ultimately made this decision. If you need to roll, you roll. Because I don't have small kids I need to go pick up.
We'll see. Justine got her second shot yesterday, and she's starting to feel like crap. So there's a chance that we get a turnaround at some point in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I'm on the hook to go get the kids from school.
Gotcha. All right. So we'll deal with all that. We'll let you know what the timing is going to be. Craig Way will let us know as soon as he knows. But that game is still not quite done. It's about to be done. It's top 9. It's 11-4. So it's about to end.
I'll tell you what I am going to do, though. Mm. That is have John Reichel in here so I can just focus on hosting with you. That's what's going to happen, well, if nothing else at 3.
Yeah, well, he's here anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, he's here at 3 for us no matter what.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the guy producing the baseball game, so he'll be good. We'll have some John Reichel. We'll have some good conversations, and we will obviously invite you to be a part of it. We thank you for, as always, for you listening, checking out the shows and the station. Go to hornfm.com if you miss anything. And you can always text us, 337-3776. If you want to jump in, somebody texted that the program director needs a reprimand, LOL. Absolutely. It was a horrible, horrible decision. Well,
no, that wasn't even, I mean, look, ultimately, yes, it is a program director decision by you, but that was you trying to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I totally understood it because I've been in the other situation where it's like, do we really need to come in for 15, 30, 45 minutes of a show?
I know.
And
yep.
Fortunately, the answer is usually no. That previous show is going to be nice enough to not require that and give you the rare midweek day off. But the other thing that we have to make sure to factor in, it's much like betting on an NBA series, especially in the first round, understanding that the number one or number two seeds, or maybe even all of them, are going to lose that very first game, but still win the series. We need to realize when we're talking about the freaking Big 12 baseball tournament, these games are going to end up like an hour to 2 hours behind.
Yeah. One of the things they may need to think about, we've discussed it on basketball before, they should figure out a way to have two fields.
My mind for a long time.
Like, all the big conferences should just do that. And in this situation, you know, start a game at 9, and then your 12:30 game, just first pitch it on another field.
Right.
How hard is that?
I'm guessing it's because there is not an acceptable seating capacity in Oklahoma City, maybe. I don't know. I think it's a good idea, though, to try and keep things on track. We really overvalue how much other fan bases want to watch teams that aren't their own.
Yeah, the whole start and finish of a game and everything. So we'll keep you up to date there. Also, keeping you up to date on the NBA and the Mavs. They are up 2-0. And if you missed it earlier in the show, Trey has now thrown a caveat on top of his Mavericks promise. I thought he was going to watch some NBA. He's now made some side rule where the Clippers actually have to show up in this series. So he may watch when it's 3-2 or 3-3 if it gets to that point. But right now it is 2-0. Mavs were playing with found money last night, and Trey, they lit it up.
Yeah.
59% from the floor, 53% from beyond the arc. Now, there are concerns built in here. If you're a Mavs fan, you know. Your team can shoot lights out and still only win by 6.
Mm.
They won by 6 points shooting that well. So there is a little bit of a concern. But, Trey, the big concern is for Clippers fans. Because I'm so glad to be wrong about this matchup. I didn't like it for the Mavs because of a couple things. But those things aren't showing up. I thought the Clippers could defend really well. Nope. I thought the Clippers were going to dominate the mid-range part of it. Now, they did get 60 in the paint. I do not love that number as a Mavs fan, but the Mavs kind of yanked them into their style of game and said, we are going to play circus ball. And the Clippers couldn't keep up with them. Paul George actually had a decent game.
Yeah.
He wasn't awful.
Kawhi was really good, especially in the first half. But ultimately, the difference in this game, Chad, was the third quarter, where the Mavs outscore the Clippers 30-19. They hold the Clippers below 40% shooting for the quarter. And how about Tim Hardaway Jr., the series that he's having so far?
Yeah.
11 of 17 from deep. And he obviously gets into the 20-point range. And Luka is once again showing why he is thought of as one of the all-around best players in the NBA. Scoring 39 points, although he doesn't get the triple-double once again, he's obviously dishing it out and getting timely rebounds as well.
Yeah, that was, just big numbers for him. And you mentioned that those other cast members are so important for the Mavs because he can't do it all by himself. And there's not another, they don't have another superstar, consistent one. Porzingis kind of up and down when it comes to being a superstar. But to have the way these guards are playing, the big threes they are hitting for him at moments have been impressive. I was listening to Bucky and Aaron this morning, and Isaiah Collier, of course, is their producer, big basketball fan. He put a great combination together. I hadn't thought of it this way. I've been trying to ask myself, who is Luka? What exactly is he? And he said Larry Bird and Allen Iverson put together.
Allen Iverson.
And that was an interesting kind of way to look at it.
I love Zay and respect his basketball opinion, so I'd be curious to hear him explain why Allen Iverson.
Yeah, I heard the very end of the conversation. I kind of like the comparison. I get the Bird thing, and I was with you. I was like, oh, I wonder what the Iverson part of it is. He is certainly, I don't know if anybody's the level of just bulldog and
just what he's able to do to guys off the dribble. I really don't know. We may need to call him during the commercial break.
Yeah, he threw up some shots last night. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are known as two of the best defenders in basketball. And Luka made him look silly. He was 4-for-4 to start the game with George guarding him. He had an incredible start.
Well, how about this, too, just as Luka continues to show how dominant he is at such a young age. So he has now played in 8 postseason games, Chad, and has 256 total points, 76 total rebounds, and 70 assists. He is the first player in NBA history, according to Elias Sports, to record at least 250 points, 70 boards, and 70 assists in his first 8 games.
First 8 playoff games.
First 8 playoff games.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah, it's been incredible to watch. And now, obviously, the numbers tell you Clippers have got to win 4 out of 5, and they've got to win at least split in Dallas, obviously, to even keep this thing going. But got to bounce back quickly. And the thing I've been wondering, Trey, about the Clippers for the last year or so, since they collapsed in the bubble. Remember, they were up, I forgot about this till I read it today. They were up 3-1 on Denver and lost.
Mm-hmm.
They never even got, it's not like LeBron took them out.
Right.
It was Denver that took them out. But ever since then, I keep wondering, does the style of leadership that Kawhi Leonard provides, combined with Paul George, ultimately create a flat atmosphere? Does it create enough of that competitive atmosphere that you need at times, to really motivate a team? I don't know.
Maybe, because that Toronto team had more spark plugs than what the Clippers currently possess.
Yeah. Lowry and then the secondary guy, I can't think of his name right now. Van Vliet was on that team, but then what's
Siakam?
Thank you. Siakam's got a lot more energy to him. And I just don't know if those two guys... Say what you want about LeBron and AD, but they're emotionally, they can get up when it's required of them, and we don't really see that so much with the Clippers. Mavs are up 2-0. Lakers did bounce back and get a win last night. Anthony Davis goes 34-10-7, and maybe the biggest statement of the night continues to be the Brooklyn Nets. If you're not a Nets fan, you just may be in the group with bad news. They won again, and they didn't even need to really exert themselves to do it. I'll get you those numbers coming up. Also coming up in the crap bag, I took 2 hours last night to watch part one of the Mike Tyson documentary. I'll let you know what I thought. Coming up at 1, it's Justin Wells of Inside Texas. What did he think of the Jaden Blue story in recruiting? A senior opting out of his senior year of high school. That thought, more of that discussion coming up, and we'll keep you up to date on what's going on in Oklahoma City. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Well, I'm a stranger here. Not just move.
playlist based on the fact that Trey digs Gary Clark Jr. Who's this, Trey?
I'm not sure how to pronounce this. It's all caps, S-I-M-O, so SIMO or S-I-M-O.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of the band, and the song is Stranger Blues.
It's a good sound. Almost sounds like the Doors.
A little bit.
It's kind of that old, that cool old sort of Doors vibe to it. More of that coming up. And they are done in Oklahoma City with game one today. And it was not, there wasn't much of drama in this one. It was the 3-6 matchup between Texas Tech and Baylor. What do you do there as a Longhorn fan, by the way? Whether it helps, if it doesn't help you either way, what do you do when Tech plays Baylor?
Root for the worst team.
Root for the worst Baylor. Team. I got you. Okay, you root for the upset there?
Yeah.
Because it would have hurt the top-seeded team, yeah.
Correct.
3-6 was Baylor and Tech was every bit of the 3-seed. They finished it off 11-4. You've got the purple matchup coming up with TCU and Kansas State, and then Texas and West Virginia scheduled for a 4 o'clock start. I don't know if that's still possible right now. We'll see what happens, but baseball's a kooky game. You can have two-hour games out of nowhere. So we'll see what happens with TCU and K-State. Keep you up to date on that, and when the Longhorns do play, you will hear it, of course, right here on the Horn. All right, let's get into the crap bag. Let's talk Tyson.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. So last night was the first part of the Mike Tyson documentary. I am the perfect age to be a Mike Tyson guy. Mike Tyson was the first big-time heavyweight champ of my life. When Mike Tyson became champion, I was 12, the year I turned 12. I remember hearing about him, seeing him as he was on the way up. My parents did have HBO in the early run. I don't know if they had it as soon as anybody had it, but we had a lot of channels, I felt like. You know, my dad got into the cable thing pretty quickly. So when they had those deals with HBO, I was watching Tyson fights. I was keeping up with it. I felt like I was the only person on earth watching when Buster Douglas beat him. In Tokyo that night, and one of the main reasons I was so excited to watch is it was free. They weren't
really,
you know, that was HBO regular. It wasn't even like you had to go pay-per-view. So I watched last night, Trey. I got through all 2 hours of it. The first part takes you from the beginning of Mike's life, telling you the life story, all the way up to the Buster Douglas fight, which is not a bad spot to go to as far as a turn. Right,
because yeah.
After that, it's because at the moment of the Buster Douglas fight, he hasn't lost a fight. He's still the champ that night, and obviously he has not gone to jail at that point. So then it's a turn into the other stuff.
How long before the Buster Douglas fight had Customato died?
The Buster Douglas fight was 90, and let me see if I'm remembering it correctly from last night. Cuss died in... Like, Cus didn't even see him become champ. So, 85, 86?
Oh, wow, okay. For some reason, I thought those two things were closer to one another.
Yeah, let me double-check on Cus D'Amato. But that relationship to me, I will always watch a Mike Tyson documentary because of that part of it. He died in 85. Yeah, November 85, Mike becomes champ in 86. So, just that whole story of Cus D'Amato and... what Mike didn't have in his life, what Cus gave him in his life, and what Mike gave Cus, that opportunity at 72.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen this interview, but they played a part of an interview where Cus D'Amato basically says, I'm alive because of this kid. This kid gives me a reason to be alive.
Right.
And it was that part of it has always been fascinating. So they take you through that. They take you through to the Buster Douglas fight. But the other the thing, Trey, that sticks out more than anything else, even in this, like, reality TV, Bachelor, Bachelorette, ooh, you got burned world, it's hard to explain to somebody what we all went through watching Robin Givens sitting next to Mike talking to Barbara Walters. It was one of the wildest interviews. Rewatching it last night, I was reminded, this would be crazy if it happened today.
Hmm.
Barbara Walters sits down with Mike Tyson. They go through all this stuff, and she asks some pointed questions of, do you hit your wife? There are reports that you hit your wife. Do you hit your wife? And Mike denies it and goes, Robin Givens told them when they stopped filming, you guys aren't getting this story right. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes and sits down, and then Barbara says, does he hit you? And she said, she didn't say immediately that he hit her, but she said, he shakes, he grabs. And Mike did say he grabs her, but never said he hit her. She said he swings. She did say that word. She described it as a nightmare. She talked about how Mike was an incredibly sad person, manic depressive, all this stuff. And Mike is catatonic sitting next to her. He didn't yell, didn't scream, didn't deny it, didn't say a word. It was one of the weirdest things, even rewatching it, one of the craziest interviews that I have ever seen. So part two next week is going to kind of pick up from after the Douglas fight. By the time the Douglas fight happens, he's either divorced or in the process of getting divorced. Because when he went to Tokyo, he did Tokyo. Full blast Tokyo. Every night, and one of the guys was breaking it down saying, every night Buster Douglas trained and rested. Mike Tyson did not. Mike Tyson partied hard for those 2 weeks or whatever he was in Tokyo.
How much did they get Mike Tyson's participation with this?
He has literally not spoken as current Mike yet, but he will in part two.
Okay.
So they're going to talk to Mike because the famous moment they've put out, or famous moment, the big moment they've put out so far is the interviewer saying, what would you tell a younger version of yourself? And the first thing out of Mike's mouth is, it's going to hurt. And then I guess he's going to further explain that. Also, Trey, an interesting person that I didn't expect to be in this documentary, Rosie Perez is in it. Ironic, because we're going to do White Men Can't Jump this week. Yeah. I started that and enjoying Rosie so far. But Rosie Perez is from the same neighborhood. She's a Brooklyn girl like Mike.
Oh, interesting.
And so she's trying to give that perspective of growing up in that world, and she was a big Tyson fan, and she's doing an interesting job. She's not the narrator or anything, but she's one of the people that's talking about this that I never thought I was going to see.
Yeah, and they would have been around the same age, too, growing up in that same neighborhood.
Yeah, I think so. So they've got some of those contemporaries, other boxers that grew up in the area. So I really enjoyed it. If you dig Mike and you dig sports documentaries, it was well done. Some of the same people that did Last Dance are a part of this, from what I understand. So it was really good. Set your DVR for next Tuesday night if you want to watch it on ABC. After it comes out, just like the Michael Jordan thing, it's going to Hulu, I believe.
Okay.
So you'll be able to see it there. But it was really, really good. A lot of the different, Tyson angles, some stuff I already knew, but some stuff I didn't, some details, old footage, and just some really cool stuff talking about Mike's life and what he was and just the memory of what it was like. Again, I was 11, 12 years old. Muhammad Ali was not Muhammad Ali anymore, and Larry Holmes wasn't Larry Holmes anymore. When I saw Mike Tyson knock Larry Holmes out that night, it was just like, wow, here we go. This is our guy. This is our dude. And that story is amazing. So next Tuesday will be part two of the Tyson documentary. It was really, really good. All right, so there's some crap bag for you today. Up next, let's get into the Longhorn discussion with Justin Wells of Inside Texas. We do it every Wednesday, and we'll start with that Jaden Blue story. What did he think when he heard about Jaden Blue opting out of his senior year of high school? Also, Justin's a Dallas fan, so let's see if he was watching the Mavs go up 2-0 last night. Plus, whatever else we can think of with the great Justin Wells. Stick with us. It's Wednesday on the Horn.
50 years in the Lone Star State. A one-stop shop so you're never late. Price is so low that you want to know.
Which way to Specs?
Come on, let's go.
Specs, wine, spirits, and finer foods. World-class service, that's all about you.
Shop Specs, it's how we do. A huge selection since 62. Shop Specs. Low price, amazing. Here's to you. Shout. Cheers to savings.
All right, let's talk AV consultations. They've been doing it for over 30 years, back since the late 80s, since Mike Tyson was champ, basically. When Mike became champ in 86, they opened up in 88. And Trey, you always talk about one of the cool things about having a great setup like you have with AV consultations is when you're rewatching old movies. So you didn't get to see them the way you see them now, but now with the great HD setup, you're noticing little details that maybe you didn't you know, maybe you wouldn't have seen the first time.
Yeah, TVs like the one that I have now in my living room, the 75-inch screen with 4K capability, is why old movies feel the need to remaster, to actually make it look good enough that it still holds up with the newer technology that people are able to experience those things with. And I saw it with an unremastered version of Star Wars a couple weeks back. I was watching with my four-year-old, and it was like, holy cow, you can tell that they are shooting this in a studio. Mm. But then there are also examples of things, and I'm sure White Men Can't Jump is going to be like this, where it looks so beautiful, them playing basketball on the courts of Venice and getting to do so on that dream home theater setup. And you can find out yourself. Just go to avconsultations.com, see what Tom McKay can do for you. After you figure that out, then give them a call. 255-8678 for audio-visual consultations.
In sports, if you think joy only happens after you win, think again. Look at the world's most successful athletes like Serena Williams, Brooks Koepka, and Alex Morgan. They don't spend all their days grinding away. They take time to enjoy themselves, like getting together with friends over a Michelob Ultra, because they know that happiness is the key to winning and that joy is the whole game, not just the end game. Michelob Ultra. 95 calories, 2.6 grams of carbs. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.